very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Kyle Wakame here. This is the 49ers Plus Minus podcast with my co-host. It's Matt Barrows of The Athletic. This is a semi-scheduled, semi-emergency podcast. I think everyone has heard the news, seen it. John Lynch just spoke to us at the opening. This is the day the 49ers report to camp. They're having their first team meeting right now, but John Lynch is the one addressing them, not Kyle Shanahan, because as the 49ers announced this morning, and there's been other reporting on it, Kyle Shanahan, I think July 14, got in a car accident. The other driver seems to be fine, thank goodness. Kyle Shanahan, as a 49er, said suffered non-life-threatening injuries, although it does sound very serious. But he is recovering. John Lynch spoke that he's actually been at headquarters. I'd wondered about that because I've kind of been hearing about this the last few days. But has a concussion. And I guess he's in concussion protocol. As Lynch said, we have it for players. You don't really have it for employees. But clearly, you know, you banged his head, and there's going to be recovery from that. Broke some ribs. Definitely broke his nose, I think. Various other things you can associate with an accident, two-car accident. Matt Barrows, let's just say, what was your reaction when you heard about this? What did you think of just kind of the mood, the spirit of the tenor of what John Lynch talked about, talking to us about it?
Yeah, I think it's a sigh of relief because it's, you know, he's not dealing with any life-threatening injuries now, but that was a major accident that he was in. 40 stitches to his face, more than 40 stitches to his face, broken nose, broken hand, three broken ribs. That's a lot of trauma. And if you're not, you know, in the prime of your life, if you're not working out all the time, you know, that could be fatal for some people. So we don't really know the details of what happened, why the other driver, why it was so injurious to Kyle Shanahan and the other driver had no issues. I don't know if it was a rear end situation, that sort of thing, but happened in Palo Alto, happened almost 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, the 14th. The 49ers were not in training camp mode at that point. The coaches hadn't even reported. Remember, the rookies, I think, reported later that week, maybe that Friday, and that's when the coaches came in as well. So I assume that he was kind of just doing regular guy stuff. I mean, he was, you know, finishing out.
Well, Lynch said that they were planning that he's going to go back to San Diego where Lynch was. So, you know, he still was very much in summer mode, in off-season mode, right before the start of camp.
Yeah.
This is like the veterans, as we noted, were not reporting until today. We should say, I mean, the reporting has not been cited for any traffic violations, no alcohol, no nothing. You know, there's certainly no driving under the influence mentioned by the police at all. I should say that right off the bat. But yeah, he's going to miss time. The 49ers said he's going to be limited in training camp. I don't know how much he's going to be around. I don't know how much you can walk around in the sun, you know, watching practice. You certainly, I would bet his voice is affected. I would bet his vision is affected. Chris Foerster who is the assistant head coach anyway, and has been said like he will, presumably they don't call him the interim head coach, but he will take on some of the roles. But the coordinators, clearly, Raheem Morris, for sure, former head coach, and Clay Kubiak, the second-year offense coordinator, will basically be running practice. This is what teams do, right, when they don't want to pull one of the coordinators out of the specialty. You don't want to lose Raheem Morris calling defense. You don't want him having to think about all the other team stuff. So you give Chris Foerster, who is the offensive line coach, but also has had, you know, many, many big-picture conversations with Kyle Shanahan over the years, the longest tenured with Kyle Shanahan on this staff. So the big picture stuff, or just maybe this drill should be shorter and that drill should be longer, and, you know, let's get him to this classroom, whatever. I think he would most know what Kyle Shanahan would want, and probably the one talking to him the most in this period or however long this lasts. I am curious about, you know, their personnel meetings they have every night. you know, how who's screwing up, who's doing great, who's moving up the depth chart, who's hurt. Can Kyle take part in those? Maybe he can via Zoom. You know, maybe sometimes he can, sometimes he can't. No timetable on when he might take over. I asked Lynch, could, is it possible that he's not there for Melbourne? We're talking about this as 15-hour flight. That might not be great for someone who's been in a car accident, you know, presumably like 7 weeks before that flight. Well, and Lynch said that's, you know, he can't guarantee anything, but that's not what they're hearing, that that Kyle will be back before that. Don't know. But there's a lot of questions. I just think what was striking me, Matt Barros, is that, hey, we talk about how old they are, all these old players. We talk about this is the same administration. We talk about, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan going their 10th year. Parag Marathi has been there, what, 10, 15 years before that. Jed York's been the owner for a long time. Like, this is when that stuff matters, right? This is, no one has to go figure out what do we do, because you've been doing it the same way. You've got Fred Warner, who John Lynch said, yeah, who already said, Kyle, we got this. You got Trent Williams. You've got Brock Purdy, a very mature quarterback, certainly for his age, 26 years old. You've got Trent Williams. You've got Nick Bosa. You've got these guys who are doing it and we know have done it. Christian McCaffrey. They need Kyle Shanahan coaching them. But if any group is going to be able to figure out how to do it without him for, let's say, 3 weeks, I would, in my mind, I'm guessing 3 weeks, who knows? This is a group that can do it. Now, obviously, some things will be missing. As Lynch said, it was interesting. He kept gesturing. I didn't know that. It's by where I sit in every press conference. There's a little pod of kind of screens, and it's where you can, you know, kind of line up the overhead screens and that kind of thing. And that's where Kyle sits for team meetings, and he talks for 40 minutes about football. They won't have that. No one's going to do that. John Lynch isn't going to do that. That's big stuff. That's how this team has created its identity. It's who it is. They're not going to have that for as long as Kyle can't do it. But everything else, I think, is pretty well set up mechanically. Barros, where would you think they will miss Kyle Shanahan's presence the most?
Yeah, it'll be that. His team meetings are apparently, must attend. I mean, they're all must attend, but they're good. I mean,
that you can just blow off. There's those ones too.
Well, Brandon Ayuk doesn't always attend.
That's true.
Everyone else has to. But they're good, and they're detailed, and there's usually a theme. And, that was a storyline last year, is that Kyle Shanahan really kind of takes a lot of pride in figuring out, you know, bigger picture ideas and rides with them throughout a season and things like that. So that'll get interrupted. I don't know for how long. From what I'm hearing, everyone's been impressed by how quickly he's recovered. Like, you know, pictures of him right after the accident and today are night and day difference. The issue is the concussion, and he's still not over it. So, I mean, again, that it was July 14. We're talking about a little bit more than a week and a half, and he's still dealing with concussion symptoms. I think it just underscores how severe the impact was. And then it underscores the importance of Chris Foerster to Kyle Shanahan. Remember when Mike McDaniel left for the Dolphins job? When he left, his longest tenured lieutenant left as well. And so Chris Foerster was put in that role. When I did that halftime story in 2022, it was Chris Foerster who was at halftime kind of charting out the running plays to open the second half and things like that. So he's a valuable resource for Kyle. And to the point, he's been with Kyle since the Washington days, right? Or does it predate that?
There's a break in there, right?
There's a definite break in there for sure. He Foerster was actually in San Francisco for a little while. He coached Joe Staley and those guys back in the day. But yes, but knowing how Kyle Shanahan thinks is extremely important to Kyle Shanahan. So in that way, it's not much of a surprise that Foerster is the guy he taps to do this. And, you know, he's running the offensive line. That's not a small job, especially this year when you've got a left guard battle when you're theoretically at least kind of grooming Trent Williams' replacement and Enrique Cruz. Maybe this guy, Carver Willis, the rookie, is going to get some center snaps, and he's the sort of the heir apparent at that position. So there are some real moving parts to that offensive line. Now, to your point, the biggest one, QB, that's going well. There's no QB competition. There's no competition for number two either. The big competition is for number three there between
Curtis Rourke and Adrian Martinez.
Curtis Rourke and Adrian Martinez. So as far as the offense is concerned, I guess there are some big things happening at wide receiver as well. But I guarantee you that at minimum, Kyle Shanahan is poring over every iota of these practice, tapes, film. Everything's filmed from a million different angles. So he will have input on those kind of, meetings about who's doing well, who's doing poorly, who they need to bring in, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a matter of how much film he can, I'm sure it'll progress and he'll go from maybe being able to watch 2 hours a day to 3 hours, whatever. But he'll be watching the practice live, I'm pretty sure, wherever he is. But can he participate in the personnel meetings? Like, can he relay, like, I don't like the way Stribling's doing this, so can you do, like, that kind of on-site, hands-on? No, some of that's not going to be there. I think there will be a lot put on Clay Kubiak, because like Raheem Morris has run defenses. Raheem Morris knows Kyle. Raheem Morris is an established defensive mind. Shanahan does not really do much with the defense anyway. He has input, certainly had input when Steve Wilks and Nick Sorensen were defense coordinators. But I think with Robert Saleh, it's like, just go do your Saleh thing. I think they're counting on Raheem Morris being able to do that with or without Kyle Shanahan on the field. Clay Kubiak, second year, you're running Kyle's offense. Kubiak showed a lot, and Kyle has certainly felt confident. He let him run the offense, call the plays in the preseason, which is something he did not do with Mike McDaniel, I always point out, which is interesting. So he's going to have to call those walkie-talkies. Like with when we see Kyle the most at practice, it's on that walkie-talkie calling the plays in, just to making sure that communication is good with the quarterback. Clay Kubiak is going to be doing that for some part of training camp. I wonder – listen, I've kind of shooed away these questions like Shanahan ever going to stop calling plays. This is what he does best, as good as anybody in the NFL. You don't hire Kyle Shanahan and say, and now you will not be calling plays. I just wonder if this is going to, speed up the process of Clay Kubiak having a much bigger input on regular season game prep, game calling, rhythm with Brock Purdy. That's Shanahan talks about that, right? Rhythm with the quarterback. You want to have that going into the huddle, going out of the huddle. What's that communication like? And Kyle is all over it in practices, so that will be very interesting. Other thing I was picking up from what Lynch was saying was that Foerster isn't really a big team meetings guy, and position coaches often aren't. So he's not going to be up there in front of the group and saying, "Here we go into the breach." He's not that guy. Shanahan really isn't either, but he's more like, here's what we're going to do, fellas. Here's what we must do. I think we're going to see Fred Warner a lot in those.
Yeah.
Or we'll hear about Fred
Warner. We'll hear him. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to hear about those Nick Bosa Saturday after practice speeches. We've heard a lot about him. I think those become ever more important because, listen, Shanahan's the voice of this team, right? Shanahan is telling them what to do at all times. They are veteran. They are mature. It's going to be a little different without that voice. But I think they've got the guys who certainly can do it without him for at least a little while. Now we start getting into the regular season and playing Sean McVay and all these other things. I think you really have to start wondering, but they're not there yet. A lot of time before that is. But it is interesting to me that there's so much focus on this Melbourne trip. They're going out early. They're prepping. Can George Kittle fly out there? Can Mykal Williams going to be there in time? I thought it was interesting, by the way, if you point out, John Lynch did say, Mykal Williams could be ready, but like he made it, maybe not. And usually when they say maybe not, that's not.
Yeah.
And it's just the way, they're an optimistic team about injuries. So if they leave open the chance that he's not going to be ready, I think don't rush him. Then that's a big game, right? It's not a small game. That's a big game in Melbourne. So already there's possibilities of things that might not develop in time for week one. You obviously don't want to push anybody who's not ready. You don't want Kyle Shanahan to get on that plane if he's going to have any issues with it. But just stuff to think about, stuff to remember. I'm already thinking about those joint practices. You've got Tennessee Titans coming in, you know, what, in about 2.5 weeks. That is a huge practice. Very important for the head coach to be there. We'll see if Kyle's there. If not, they'll deal with it. But then the week after that in LA against the Chargers, those are huge practices. But again, Shanahan could watch them on video and certainly would have his input. But these are kind of milestones of the preseason of summertime that change now or altered now because we don't know the extent of which Kyle Shanahan is going to be part of. So just an underlines, you know, he is the life force of this team, right? He is it. That's the guy. It's going to cause an earthquake if there's any disruption on that, and I'm sure they've already had it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As far as the injuries, we're witnessing now. I've been covering the NFL since 2002. This is the evolution of injury optimism. In the winter, he could come back before training camp starts, which is what they were saying about Mykal Williams. And Mykal Williams was saying as well, and you want that from the player. You want him to be optimistic. You want him to be shooting for the earliest possible target. Once late July rolls around, you get to realistic injury return time. And so the realistic injury return time for Mykal Williams is at the end of training camp, which raises the question about whether he's going to be ready for week one. Alfred Collins was also, shoulder injury. He's going to miss the spring, but he'll be fine by training camp. Well, now he's going to get worked in that second window of training camp. So they have the mandatory off days. That's, up until then is the first window off day, a number of practices, then a second off day. That's when Alfred Collins is scheduled to come back. And when he comes back, he's not going to be full go. They're going to be ramping him up. So two guys that this team is really, really counting on for now and for the future are going to have missed all of the spring and at least some of the summer session. So right off the bat, that very important defensive line group is compromised. Now, Nick Bosa, on the other hand, is not on any injury list, but he'll get ramped up very kind of gradually as well. And we probably aren't going to see a lot of him this summer, certainly not in the preseason games, maybe not the much of the joint practices beyond the individual stuff. I think that'll be the highlight of his summer. Who else are we missing? Isaac Garendo. We knew about him.
So these are all PUP players, the players who put on PUP, right?
Four players on PUP: Kittle, Mykal Williams, Alfred Collins, Isaac Garendo. That means that Keon White, Nick Bosa, some of these other guys that were out in the spring, Luke Gifford, are, at very least able to practice, even if they're not going to be 100%. And then you buried the biggest news of the day, which is that Evan Anderson was released from the team. So the Evan Anderson era might be
another one. No one is in relationship with his team. Barros will campaign for it. So good Lord, I never think there's an end to the Evan Anderson era with the 49ers. The tears streaming down your face tell us the emotional toll this is taking on you already. And anything else from the, I'm going to get back to some Kyle stuff. It's obviously a huge deal, but anything else, any other issues that
you the Aiyuk stuff. And, John Lynch had a preamble before, he started taking questions where he talked about Alden Smith. He talked about Roger Craig going into the Hall of Fame. He obviously talked about Kyle Shanahan. And he basically said, I'm not going to answer any questions about Brandon Ayuk. He's still on the reserve left squad list, which means that he's inactive. I'm concentrating on the guys who are on the active roster. And so I tried to squeeze a question in about it. Nick Wagoner tried to squeeze a question in, and John Lynch held firm and didn't say anything beyond that. But so my assumption is that it's status quo. This guy is going to remain languishing on this kind of limbo, in this limbo status where he's on the team, but he's not on the active roster. And he seems to, this is, of all the bizarre IU behavior, this one, to me, takes the cake. He seems adamant that he's not even going to petition the league to come back onto the active roster. I'm not going to do that. Okay, well, I mean, if you're not going to do that, you're hurting yourself, which is, you know, pretty much a theme when it comes to IU. But that's where things stand, which is the way it stood for the last 8-9 months.
Yeah, I don't know if you brought it up. Someone, I'd missed this thing. I guess Ayuk said that Lynch showed up at his place unexpected or unannounced and whatever. And Lynch, you know, can you confirm that? And Lynch said, no, I'm just not going to answer any of these questions. I'll just say the well-being is important. It's like, I mean, it touches on what you're hearing behind the scenes. Like, is this guy well? I don't know. I'm not speculating about that. But I think anybody looking at the Instagram stuff, anybody looking at what's just happened, guy walking away from $27 million guarantees, refusing to just report and get himself, if he really wants to be saying going to buy a house and near the Commanders and not trying to get released so he can indeed join the Commanders if they want him at this point, which I'm not sure is accurate. I would be worried about his health also, but who knows?
That's stemming from something he said on Instagram, I don't know, maybe a month ago, which is that there was a time, and he didn't say when it happened, that he saw Lynch coming to his house unannounced. And I can only guess that it was a welfare check, how are you doing type of situation. And Ayuk made it sound as if, you know, it was a threatening visit and that he had to tell his wife to stay away from the house. She was on her way home, that sort of thing.
I don't agree that
John Lynch is a big, large man. And he obviously can do some damage physically, but he's also one of the nicest, more kind of well-mannered guys in the NFL. So I don't think he was arriving in a threatening manner.
And I can't imagine he was just, let me just show up at Brandon's house. You know, I imagine he did try to let him know that he would be coming, but who knows in this world. My point is, you can just say he is no longer part of the team and release him. I don't care if he's reporting or not. He's not part. They're not forced to keep him until he reports. That's my point. There are some, you know, perception that, oh, our hands are tied. You haven't requested. Like, you can just say you can request, you cannot request. You're not part of this team. Bill Belichick would say you're not part of this team. So there are no more questions about him. But they've decided that they can take these questions, at least hear them, and they don't have to answer them. I don't think they need to, but whatever. They made the decision to keep going with this. I thought I was going to say one other thing, and I forgot what it was on any other player. So I'll just get back to the Shanahan thing. I had gotten an inkling about this. People seemed to, you know, he was supposed to appear on my podcast. We do an annual thing. Would have been today. And I got word that it wasn't going to happen, and got word it was, you know, it was something that likely would affect him starting training camp. So I knew something. I didn't know the details of this, but I did know something serious enough to cause him, you know, probably not to do the press conference and probably not be there for at least the first practice. And, you know, this was something that you don't think about, right? You don't think about Kyle Shanahan not being able to show up. I went through a process. Like, what is that going to mean? I was told it's going to be all right. So what is this? It's a bit of a, you know, it's just an electrical shock through everybody who is with the 49ers, who covers 49ers, who thinks about the 49ers. And it does tell you how big a figure he is. He's a bigger figure. I mean, not fame, more famous, but he's the biggest 49er coaching figure since Bill Walsh. You know, Harbaugh was a looming presence, but he wasn't controlling the personnel. He wasn't there for 10 years. He was there for four. This is going to be 10 years of Kyle Shanahan in charge of every piece of the football operation, with obviously John Lynch incredibly influential, incredibly important on the personnel side and the culture side. But it goes through Kyle Shanahan. So this is just like it's a reminder of many things you always probably need to be reminded about, that this is a huge franchise, an incredibly important franchise, trying to do big things. We talk about them endlessly. We have a whole show about them. And everything shakes a little bit when something like this happens. I just wanted to say that. I don't think it's not news to say that, but I kind of been dealing, just understanding something was happening for the last few days. So I feel like I can comfortably talk about it a little bit, because I just had a little more time to deal with it. And people are asking me, why didn't I report it? I didn't know all of it. I knew that he would not be there today. I knew that he likely would not be there tomorrow. Beyond that, you know, it's indefinite. And then the press release announcing, which took a long time, right, to announce the presser today, and that came out as media availability with no name attached to it. And that was like, okay, this is indeed happening. He's not going to be there. It's going to be John Lynch. And that's how that develops. If it was, I had heard about a trade or heard about a firing, I would have made a lot more calls on this one. I wasn't going to. I just wasn't going to, unless I had everything. I knew it would be, you know, it was something that was personal. It was something that was about himself, not about the team, not about trades, not about the roster. So just wanted to explain that part here. If anyone wants to get mad at me or not mad at me, just wanted to make sure that that's kind of the way it went. I'm pretty transparent about it. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal in the 49ers landscape. It's a big deal in Bay Area sports landscape. It's a big deal in the NFL. So, you know, we're all kind of figuring it out. I'm sure the 49ers are figuring it out as it goes, but just hope Kyle Shanahan keeps getting better, keeps feeling better. I'm sure Mandy's in there working hard, doing everything. But you want everyone to emerge from this healthy and, you know, successful and do whatever they can. And it's just how it's happening right before the start of a season. And that is, you know, this could, you know, whatever could have happened in February, right? Could have happened in June instead of had it happened mid-July on the eve of training camp. So we'll all deal with it as it goes, Barris.
Is that the only way to get out of a Tim Calcami podcast?
It's a good way. Commitment? It's a good way. It's a good
way. If you wind up in the hospital, that's the only excuse that Tim will take that'll satisfy him.
I'll just say the fact that he's missing the first training camp practice is pretty good reason that you're not going to.
Well, he might be there. I mean, for all we know, I mean,
he's not. He might be there.
It's going to be tough for him to stay away altogether.
I agree. He might be there, but I don't imagine that he's going to be out there barking at people and pointing and
what, you know. What we're going to have to do is keep our eye on that balcony of their headquarters, because he's going to need a good spot for him to kind of loom with, like a Napoleonic era telescope looking at his quarterbacks and things
the
like
Barrows
that.
The Barrows binoculars.
It's going to be a binoculars duel between me and Shanahan.
Why don't you look?
Maybe
at each
I
other.
Should lend him my Monarch Sevens, my Nikons.
I want you guys to be looking at each other from across 500 yards. That's what I want. He's going to be. If I had a bet. If he's there, we might see him briefly, but then he's going to go in his office and watch it on the video. I think that's what it would be. I don't think he's, as Lynch said, he's not ready to talk to us. He's not ready to talk to the team. Once he starts talking to the team, he's going to be the head coach again. And then he'll do media or whatever. But it's not like he's going to do media first and then talk to the team. Like, he's going to talk to the team, feel like he's the head coach again, and then we'll see him. Just don't know when that's going to be. And I just, like, for them to say it like that, it's clear he's not, right? He's just not ready for real intense, real thoughtful, prolonged conversation. I get it. Like, this is serious stuff. So hope he takes care of himself. Hope he's back soon. And we will do our next show after tomorrow's practice, first practice of the Chris Foerster era. So, and I'm sure we'll talk to him and we'll hear from some players talking about this. I imagine it'll be Purdy, Fred Warner. I know you know the list, but these are the people we want to talk to. These are the people we want to hear from, the leaders of this team, and how they're approaching this. I think we know what Fred Warner's approach is. It's like, we got this. That's going to be Fred Warner. All right, Barros, you and I don't know if we got this, but we did our best. And we'll move on until tomorrow. All right, everybody, that's the show for today.